This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
I'm Alex Chadwick. Yesterday on the program, we had a conversation with David Mamet.
Alex, I think you called him the disgustingly accomplished film and stage writer and director, David Mamet.
Which he is. He got a Pulitzer Prize for his play, later a movie, a sad tale about salesmen. It's called Glengarry Glen Ross.
A, B, C. A always, B, B, C closing. Always be closing. Always be closing.
That's Alec Baldwin from the film version of the play.
He was so creepy
because he sounded so real. Yeah. And David Mamet, he just kept writing plays. He added screenplays. Brian De Palma's The Untouchables, for instance. Then he began directing his own scripts. Remember 1987's House of Games?
That is one of my favorite movies. It's about some con artists working a really complicated ruse.
Come on. You're my wife. You follow my cue. Whatever I do, don't volunteer anything.
Taxi!
However strange things seem, keep your mouth shut, and the only one you know is me.
If you had a little more time, maybe David Mamet would make a good criminal. He certainly plots a lot. Instead, he keeps writing and directing. Also a political essayist. Sometimes it all blends together. You know, 10 years ago, he got an Oscar nomination for writing the film Wag the Dog.
And that one was a comedy, I guess. White House officials hiring a Hollywood type to produce a fake war.
You want me to produce your war? Not a war. It's a pageant. We need a theme, a song, some visuals. We need, you know, it's a pageant. It's like the Oscars. That's why we came to you.
I never won an Oscar.
And that's a damn shame you didn't, but you produced the Oscars.
Yes, indeed I did.
Robert De Niro, Dustin Hoffman in Wag the Dog. So, right now, David Mamet has got a hit comedy on Broadway.
That's called November. Nathan Lane as a total idiot who's running for re-election as president.
His television series, The Unit, about a secret strike force. That's in its third year. And he has a movie, Red Belt.
And that's what you talked about with him yesterday.
Right. Opening tomorrow. And he's got two plays, one old, one new, that open next week in Los Angeles.
What a slouch.
Yeah, right. He just likes to work. And that's where we began our conversation at his office in a comfortable little condo in Santa Monica. And David said that everything he does can be explained by his original showbiz sensibility.
I grew up in Chicago, and we never made a big thing out of it. You know, we got together and put on plays, and that was what we did. And that was how, when we were making a living, that's how we made our living. You put on a play 1 week, you exhausted your audience. While you were doing that, you were rehearsing a second play that you were going to put on the next week. And while you were doing that, you were planning a third play you were going to put on the third week. So I and the men and women of my generation in Chicago developed those habits of working.
You're not agonizing for 6 months about have I got this right or not?
Well, sometimes you are and sometimes you aren't. But the whole idea is, what are you going to do all day? You know, I don't play golf, and so if you jam up against something that you there's two things. There's if you're working on something that really has to be fixed right now, you just fix it right now and get on with it. For example, if you got a play in rehearsal, you got to rewrite it because it's not working. Do it. If you got a play you're working on that's going to be done some other time, and you jam up against it and can't really figure out what the third act is, then you just put it aside and figure out and do something else. But I would like Noel Coward said this marvelous thing. He said, "Work is more fun than fun," which I think is true. So I'd just rather work all day. So you know, if you work all day for 40 years and like producing stuff, you're probably going to come up with a pretty big bulk of work, which will do two things: A, support your family, and B, piss off the New York Times.
What? Why? Because you shouldn't be writing as much as you do.
Yeah, that's exactly
right.
You're
going to run out of ideas or run out of quality?
No, I'm just worried about running out of ink.
Or wearing out his keyboard, maybe.
Okay, we're back. Yeah, he's just got to write pretty much anything. About a month ago, I read a piece that he'd written. It's a political essay, several thousand words in the Village Voice, and it was headed, "Why I Am No Longer a Brain-Dead Liberal." So we talked about that.
Yeah, I wrote this piece for the Village Voice called Political Civility because it occurred to me half the country cannot be wrong all the time, that whether one's a Democrat or a Republican, it can't be true that the people who wear a different colored lapel pin are not only wrong but savage monsters. And so I realized, thinking about it over a long time, that these are exactly the same people with whom we get along perfectly on the shop floor or in the office or on the subway, and that one of the reasons we all get along pretty darned well is we have this spectacular American culture and a history of an actual history of political civility. So I wrote an article to that extent for the on that theme for the Village Voice, and they took off my title Political Civility and retitled it Why I Am No Longer a Brain Dead Liberal. So I mean, a couple of other, and I didn't have any a couple of guys burned. Yes, they burned a cross on my lawn, but other than that, I think that the reaction's been generally positive.
Let me just read to you from this essay, a moment of epiphany for you. You're with your wife, the car. We were riding along and listening to NPR. I felt my facial muscles tightening and the words beginning to form in my mind, shut the f*** up. She could read your face.
Well, no, it's just that that's what I've been saying for 20 years. Yeah, but I can't help it. You know, I love, and I not only love NPR, but I love hating NPR. And so it gets my blood boiling.
What is it you like to hate about it?
Well, I mean, first off, it's you guys' kind of rampant Palestinian bias. As a very serious Jew and supporter of Israel, I find it, to say the least, unfortunate. And the other thing is the idea that everything's always wrong. So I got two stops on my car radio now. One is NPR, and the other one is AM rant radio, which I also dislike, too. But I dislike AM rant radio because there's too many commercials for siding.
Well, this is really what you take off on, and I think it's interesting. You write that it can't be that so much is wrong with the world that I hear reported all day long and on NPR.
It's not just NPR. I mean, it's a lot of the news in general. And, you know, and Tolstoy said this marvelous thing. He's talking to Anna Karenina about this guy reading a newspaper. He says he reads the newspaper for the same reason he smokes the cigar, for the pleasant fog which it creates in his brain.
When you write a play, you write about conflict. Something's going on.
Sure, absolutely so.
That's what news is in the world.
Sometimes, of course. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. But the question is on what level one wants to contend. See, I spent all my life with kind of a child's sense of abused wonder, saying, what in the world is going on here? And so as I get older and I get a little bit more thoughtful and a little bit less ambitious and a little bit more religious, that I think my sense of outrage is little by little being replaced by a sense of gratitude.
Are you writing about this political season now?
Well, I just did a whole bunch of blogs for the Huffington Post in the voice of President Charles H.P. Smith, who is my fictional creation and is also Nathan Lane's fictional creation. Nathan Lane's playing this president on Broadway. In my play November, some seats still available, who says in his current blog on the Huffington Post, any philosophy which cannot be written on a bumper sticker cannot be placed on the back of a car.
David Mamet's film Red Belt opens this week. His new play Keep Your Pantheon later this month here in Los Angeles. David, thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Also, last time we met, you said to me that you were better looking on radio, but I think you're better looking both on and off radio. We'll be right back.